Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the latest revelations of scandal consuming the Republican presidential frontrunner Herman Cain. Mark Feldstein, a professor of media and public affairs at George Washington University and author of Poisoning the Press, Richard Nixon, Jack Anderson, and the Rise of Washington Scandal Culture, joins us to provide an historical context to the broken political system that Herman Cain claims is victimizing him along with the Democratic Party machine. Then we will discuss another magnet for scandal, Silvio Berlusconi, the embattled Italian prime minister who is currently a defendant in three trials for bribery, tax fraud, abuse of power, and paying for sex with a 17-year-old girl. Domenico Lombard, an expert on international monetary relations, joins us to discuss the Italian debt crisis. And since Berlusconi is reported to be ready to step down after the next budget is approved by Parliament, how his exit will affect the future of the Eurozone's third largest economy. Then finally, Jamie Henn joins us. He is the co-founder of the environmental group 350.org, which has been leading protests at the White House that culminated with a huge demonstration Sunday against the proposed Keystone Pipeline from the tar sands of Alberta, Canada, to refineries in Texas. We will discuss the political future of the pipeline that has President Obama and the State Department in the hot seat. Joining us now is Mark Feldstein, a professor of media and public affairs at George Washington University and author of Poisoning the Press, Richard Nixon, Jack Anderson, and the Rise of Washington Scandal Culture, which will be out soon in paperback. For over two decades, he has been an award-winning investigative correspondent for CNN, ABC, NBC, and a two-time winner of the George Foster Peabody Award. Welcome to Background Briefing, Mark Feldstein.
Great to be here again, Ian.
And the press conference that Herman Cain had today was for anybody that endured it. It was both a low moment for an embattled politician, but it was also a low moment for the press, in spite of the manifest nature of this growing scandal and the hollow denials from the candidate. The press basically didn't lay a glove on him. I was astounded.
Well, you know, he is doing what Richard Nixon and other politicians before him have done, which is to attack the media, blame the messenger for the message. I don't think it's really going to work for him, but my guess is that may have had a temporary effect on cowing their performance in the immediate aftermath. But you know, this isn't going away. The first of four women has gone public. We're going to be hearing more. You know, more shoes are going to drop coming down the pike. And it's hard to see how he's going to be able to really survive this as a viable candidate.
Well, in speaking of shoes that are about to drop, already the New York Times has met with Karen Krashauer, who is one of the two women who settled sexual harassment claims against Herman Cain with the National Restaurant Association. Now, she is currently a spokesperson at the Treasury Department, and since her name was leaked in the press, she's now decided to talk to the New York Times. But what is particularly alarming, if what she's told the New York Times, and I mean alarming for Herman Cain, is that she said, this woman said, that she has been warming to the idea of a joint press conference where all of the women would be together with our attorneys and all of this evidence would be considered together. These allegations can be considered together as a body of evidence. Don't you think, Mark Feldstein, wouldn't that be the death blow to
Well, you know, whether it's probably, yeah, it would probably in one fell swoop. But, you know, it could also be a death by, if not a thousand cuts, at least multiple cuts. If, you know, the women are going to end up coming forward, you know, because, you know, the first ones happened and now he denies all of them and they're going to feel some solidarity with each other. And so, you know, these things don't usually happen in a vacuum. With Clarence Thomas, it was sort of the same thing. Not just an isolated case, but part of a pattern. The difference is there. The Senate Judiciary Committee, with Joe Biden as chairman, was cowed from calling the other women. and that effectively shut them off at the source. That doesn't seem to be the case here. And this guy's running for president. He was always an unlikely long shot anyway. But my guess is that, you know, in a few months' time, Herman Cain's name will just be the punchline of a joke. And, you know, 10 years from now, it'll be "where is he now" kinds of stories, if any, are done about him.
Well, Mark Feldstein, he, in answering the question, or not that he answered any of the questions really, but in answering the question about who do you think's behind this, he said that it's the Democratic Party machine. And again, nobody in the press pointed out the obvious absurdity of that, which is that the Democrats would love this guy to be the presidential nominee of the Republicans.
Well, that's right. And if the Democrats were going to time it for maximum political effect, they would wait a year or, you know, 11 months until he's the nominee and blow him up on the eve of the election. But, you know, if you don't have a defense, you go on the offense. And so attacking the press, attacking the Democrats, attacking the women is what he's been doing. I don't think it's going to stand up.
Well, your book, the Poisoning the Press, Richard Nixon, Jack Anderson, and the Rise of Washington Scandal Culture, which will be out soon in paperback.
Actually out in the stores now.
Oh, it's out in the stores now. Oh, well, well, there you go. I'm glad you corrected me. The obviously, there's a history here that you've documented, and we've spoken about current scandals in the past. But I must say, this is getting kind of exhausting, though. You know, when you've got the you've got
think
this
how Herman Cain must feel.
Well, I know, but if you've got this sort of ambulance chasing woman, Gloria Allred, representing this woman, and it's just whether it's a political scandal or a Hollywood scandal, they keep coming thicker and faster, and they all have. And we just had the conviction of the Michael Jackson's doctor,
right.
and that was dominating the headlines. There seems to be an endless appetite for this maudlin stuff. Or do you think it's just that the media has found a way to get cheap programming?
Well, I think it's both. You know, there's actually a tradition in this country of what I call the sexpose, the journalistic expose about sex that does go back to the founding of the Republic. And Thomas Jefferson, Alexander Hamilton, the founders of our two major political parties, were battling each other and using their own partisan newspapers to expose the sex lives of the other. We know about Sally Hemings, the slave mistress of Jefferson, because of a leak to a Hamilton newspaper. So there is a long tradition of this, and it is a weapon of partisan warfare. But you have that now merged with a for-profit media that, you know, whose ratings go up or whose circulation goes up, the more the substance goes down. And with these kind of tabloid stories, you know, people buy it and they tune in. And, you know, I sometimes think the TV networks would run live executions with nude anchors if the ratings went up. You know, that's been the general trend for almost the past generation now, the tarting up of the news.
Well, Mark Feldstein, the fact that we started out with a kind of our original politics under the Founding Fathers was a real contact sport, and they slimed each other and published sexual innuendo or even more blatant stuff, where political candidates in those days had rival newspapers. So flashing forward to the present, just before this happened, at the time that you document in your book, seems to have been the turning point under Nixon, because we all know that Jack Kennedy had a healthy appetite for women, and he even had two women on the National Security Council, Fiddle and Faddle, who swam with him in the White House pool on a regular basis. And all the press knew about this, but nobody said anything. So what explains that gap where there was a kind of an understanding that this stuff was off the record?
Well, that's a great question, and you're right. The press as a whole did know about Kennedy's womanizing, and kept it quiet, because the standard belief then was that if it didn't, if you know, sexual liaisons didn't affect public behavior, it deserved to be private. That really did start to change with Watergate, where there was much more of, you know, bringing down of a crooked president whose personal flaws seemed to be at the root of his corruption, and with you know, every journalist afterwards wanting to be another Woodward and Bernstein and have another you know, blockbuster movie starring Robert Redford and Dustin Hoffman made. And so you've had that, and then in the last generation you've also had the economics change, where news organizations are more and more consolidated, owned by profit-making conglomerates whose interests aren't necessarily journalism in its most button-down fashion, but are really about making money. You know, certainly we had the yellow press before and the tabloid journalism of Hearst and Pulitzer, but it's now sort of spread to every medium, you know, from talk radio to television, tabloid television, the cable news networks have 24 hours to fill and not enough news, so they tart it up that way. And the internet, which, you know, spreads everything instantaneously. So all these things kind of have reinforced, but I really trace it back to sort of the post-Nixon era.
So how do you explain this current scandal, Mark Feldstein, again, professor of media and public affairs at George Washington University and the author of Poisoning the Press, Richard Nixon, Jack Anderson, and the Rise of Washington Scandal Culture? Mark's been an award-winning investigative correspondent for CNN, ABC, and NBC, and is two-time winner of the George Foster Peabody Award. So you have this candidate who's said, I'm a different candidate, I'm a business CEO, I'm going to run the country like a business. And a lot of the Tea Party Republicans find that very appealing. They also find it very appealing that he's not a Beltway politician. But now he's behaving like a Beltway politician. I mean, he's handled this, these blanket denials just are totally inadequate. They've boxed him in. And as the evidence mounts, the denials get more and more absurd. But then you could argue that this has been an absurdity from day one. I mean, that is another way to look at it.
Yeah, and I think it is. I mean, you know, all of these, I remember in the 80s when the candidates on the Democratic side were less than towering. They were referred to as the Seven Dwarves. Well, you know, they look like giants positively, Dukakis and the rest of them, compared to the midgets running on the Republican side, my God, you know, or more like a freak show, or the bar scene at Star Wars, you know, Michelle Bachmann. You couldn't make some of these people up. So I think Herman Cain was a fluke to begin with, an unlikely candidate, and he came out of nowhere, and you know, he hadn't been vetted. You know, because he hadn't run for office before. Because he didn't really have a public persona, you know, this kind of stuff that would normally come out in the course of a campaign for lesser office was buried. And so, I mean, this is what happens when you kind of go with a wild card, and it can turn up to be an ace, or it can turn up to be a three or a two.
Right. But the important thing is, Mark, he is ahead in he's the front runner for the Republican primaries to become president of the United States.
Yeah, but it ain't going to happen. You know, give it a few days, give it a week. That those poll numbers are going to drop. The candidates will winnow out, and he is not going to come anywhere close to being a Republican nominee, let alone president. I don't know. I could be wrong. I mean,
I don't dispute
would become president, and he did. So anything's possible. But that would be like us electing Berlusconi or Donald Trump or something. I mean, we're past the point of satire at this point. We're really approaching pathos, and it's not going to come to that.
Well, let me read something apropos from the wires here. Berlusconi steps down, will run National Restaurant Association. A dream job for me, says Italian PM. Showing the resiliency that has frustrated foes throughout his storied career, Silvio Berlusconi today stepped down as Italian Prime Minister and assumed the helm of the National Restaurant Association. This is a dream job for me, Mr. Berlusconi told reporters as he settled into his new office in Washington. I love working with people and I tend to be very hands-on. Mr. Berlusconi won the coveted position after beating out several rivals, including former International Monetary Fund chief Dominique Strauss-Kahn. I must admit I'm very envious of Silvio, Mr. Strauss-Kahn said. There isn't a red-blooded man alive who wouldn't want to run the National Restaurant Association. But even as he settled into his new post, Mr. Berlusconi served notice that there were going to be big changes ahead for the trade association. I've taken a look at the employees and they're way too old. Now, of course, that is satire from Andy Borowitz of the Borowitz Report. But
that's pretty good.
I couldn't resist that since you gave me an opening there. But, Mark, seriously, where the press has, I think, failed with Kane, and now that scandal has consumed it, it's they're off on a tear about scandal. But what very few reporters, and the New York Times recently picked it up, but mostly it came from a newspaper in Wisconsin. I wish I remember the name of it, but the whole point of this campaign, as far as I can tell, is that it's a two-man show. That is Kane and this fellow Mark Block, who's featured in the bizarre campaign commercial, smoking a cigarette and blowing smoke at the camera. He apparently is literally the Koch brothers' man. He was banned from Wisconsin politics for 3 years for improprieties, fairly serious ones. And then a couple of days after he was unbanned, the Kochs hired him, and he succeeded in getting two Tea Party congressmen elected, the governor elected, and the Republican senator who knocked off the famous campaign finance senator. Russ Feingold. So, huge trifecta for the Koch brothers. And so that's the real question. We shouldn't be talking about this scandal. The questions that we should be asking is, what are the Koch brothers getting out of this?
Well, I think that's right, and points to a larger issue, which is that, you know, in a certain sense, of all of the things that make Herman Cain unqualified to be president, in some ways this is the least of them. But it's the sexiest, and that's why what the media is feasting upon. But his policy ideas, his ties to the Koch brothers, as you point out, these are actually not to minimize at all the sexual harassment, but those alone should have knocked him out of the starting gate. But you have some very odd candidates running now for on the Republican side who, deny scientific fact and, whether it's evolution or global warming. So I guess this is just a part of it.
So then, just in closing then, Mark Feldstein, I don't understand, though, why, he's obviously his behavior is sufficiently egregious that there's this press drip torture is going to go on until he finally either gets out. I mean, he must be in some serious denial because he was quite passionate about his innocence, but it doesn't gel with the facts. And his excuses were kind of pathetic. But the fact of the matter is that he should have been disqualified long ago, and I wonder why he wasn't. His outrageous racist remarks about Muslims, how he wouldn't have a Muslim in his administration, the impression that I get is that he's been actually getting away with more than anybody else would, and I'm wondering whether it's to do with the fact that he's an African American and that he's as Ann Coulter said in the most outrageous and patronizing way, our blacks are better than their blacks. Talk about a plantation mentality there.
Yeah, it was pretty outrageous, and you can only imagine what if there had ever been a hint of a whisper of any kind of sexual issues with Barack Obama, how different the Republican reaction would be to that, and how utterly devastating that would have been to his campaign. But I also think that, you know, you have these kind of outlier Republican candidates, and you know they don't and except really for Romney or maybe Huntsman and Perry, you know, none of them really passed the plausibility test as nominees. They all have, you know, either skeletons in their closet or really kind of, you know, fringe views. It may be that the Tea Party and the fringe element in the Republican Party has some disproportionate weight in some of these early polls and caucuses. But, I think it's also a way the media occupies airtime and print space at this point. You know, and you build one up and then you tear it down, like that song Dirty Laundry. There was Bachman, who was built up for a while based on a straw poll of rather meaningless value.
Right, and Ron Paul was only two or three votes behind her, and they ignored him.
Right. I think it's, you know, a little bit of taking turns on who's going to be flavor du jour for a week or two. Before, you know, the long campaign settles in.
Well, I thank you for joining us here today, Mark Feldstein.
Always a pleasure, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Mark Feldstein. He's a professor of media and public affairs at George Washington University. He's the author of Poisoning the Press, Richard Nixon, Jack Anderson, and the Rise of Washington Scandal Culture, which is now out in paperback. He's an award-winning investigative correspondent for CNN, ABC, NBC, and a two-time winner of the George Foster Peabody Award. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about that other magnet for scandal, Silvio Berlusconi.
From the dead.